Hey, welcome to Will It Game, a little podcast part of the One Board Family network grouping.
I called us a warehouse party last week, which is a terrible description for a bunch of podcasts.
A warehouse of podcasts, all two of them. Will It Game is a little gaming podcast where Rick and myself, Ryan Gutowski, throw out different terrible game pitches. And this week, we happen to have another great guest judge. This week, we have Aaron Dean. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing great. So thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Yeah, definitely. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and how you engage with the board game industry?
So I've been working part-time for Lucky Duck Games for the past 2 months now. So I'm their part-time social media manager. And Lucky Duck Games is most popular for Vikings Gone Wild, Chronicles of Crime, and Fruit Ninja are some of our biggest games. And yeah, it's been great. And I engage with the community via the Lucky Duck Games social media pages, so Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Usually if you see any content on those pages, it's usually me behind the typewriter, if you want to say it that way. But so I engage with our fans, post interesting content, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. And you have a book that's currently being funded on Kickstarter right now. Give us a little you know, elevator pitch for what this book is about.
Yes, yeah, so my book, For the Love of Board Games, is on Kickstarter right now, and basically it explores how modern popular board games were created by interviewing the designers behind the game. So I interviewed over 50 board game designers, and we talked about their successes, their failures, how they got into board gaming, how they got into the industry, like working in the industry, and yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I hope if, you know, maybe there's going to be a link at the post that you can go check it out.
Definitely. We'll include that in the show notes, and you can check out the Kickstarter right
I
now.
I also like how you have interviewed like successful board game designers, and you are about to have the exact opposite experience right now.
Yep.
Well, Rick, the way that I see this, this is setting up volume two. This is kind of like beginning of volume two of her book. Volume two is going to kick off with me and you and how these terrible board games will one day become a reality.
Yes, that's what it is. Like, really, we're just using you to try to become successful ourselves is what it is. It's completely
that's
selfish
right.
on our part.
I love it. I love it.
Cool. So our theme this week was picked by my 10-year-old daughter, Kendall. She threw out the theme idea, flowers or gardening. And so Rick and I made two games about flowers. Rick, would you like to go first?
I would, because I'm feeling confident about this one. This is the first game I've pitched that's not going to be all kind of super silly. But my game is called Wedding Bouquet. And so in this game, you're going to have different types of flowers that are going to be represented by different cards. You'll be playing each player's kind of building their own bouquet from these flowers. And what I'm picturing is a similar experience to Kodama. You know, in Kodama, you've got this tree that each card represents different branches that you're putting on there.
Okay.
So in this game, you're putting different flowers into a base card that's going to be bigger. It's going to be a vase that you're seeing, or maybe the, I guess you don't put a wedding bouquet in a vase, like the bottom of the bouquet. And so you'll be placing different types of cards that you can draw from a tableau that's laid out, and each different type of card has a different type of flower that scores in different ways. And so maybe, like, if you've got baby's breath, that's one that you try to get a lot of to kind of fill out a bouquet. So maybe it gets points for how many cards are touching it. Maybe you've got roses in the bouquet and you want that part to be special. So maybe you get points up to like three roses. And if you overdo the roses, maybe it's too much. And so different types of ways to get points. And then, of course, if you overlap a flower and you can't see it anymore, you would lose its point scoring ability. But this would be played over several rounds until either the cards run out or some other in-game scenario hits. and then you calculate all your points based on the position of your flowers, and whoever has the most points wins.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, very cool. A question for you. So what would you say are the main mechanics in this? I could see set collection working really well in this game. I could also see like end game scoring, you know, different, you know, where the game is replayable, you know, by having different end game goals. Yeah, so are you planning to have those? Or?
And maybe there are some like end game bonus points. So if you meet certain criteria, Kodama kind of has that itself. And maybe it kind of has a Sushi Go Party feel where, you know, maybe there's only certain types of flowers that are available. Maybe we make more than you need for one game. And so like there are 8 flower types to choose from. And they all have different scoring abilities. I think it is definitely a set collection in many aspects, like I was talking about with the baby's breath. But I think also maybe you could call it card placement, almost like a tile placement. But where you're positioning the flowers as you build up this bouquet is going to be important for some of the scoring. So I guess card placement is the mechanic here that we might be looking at.
Could you see drafting working out, like rather than picking from a tableau or like a kind of base camp almost of cards in the middle of the table? Could you see like everyone starts out with 8 cards and then you pick one and then you pass it and then you pick one?
Yeah, I like
one.
That. It kind of, we have that with Best Treehouse Ever. You're kind of building up a treehouse and you're passing the cards. So maybe that could work. Yeah, I like it.
Cool.
Very cool.
Ryan, I want you to notice, I'm not making and cracking cheesy jokes this week. I am in the zone. I am tired of losing this podcast, though I did win recently one time, first time
you
ever.
You did win.
But
one.
I am no jokes right now, Ryan. I'm so ready to go.
You're so serious.
Yeah.
Rick, this is your serious.
Yeah,
face.
This is my serious. Plus, I couldn't think of many jokes that have to do with weddings wedding bouquets. I tried and it didn't work.
That's funny. So I've got, are you ready, Aaron? This next pitch is going to blow your socks off. I just want to prepare you and make
sandals.
Sure that you're ready.
Oh, I am actually wearing sandals.
Boom.
So.
You can't blow her socks off.
Yeah.
So. This is going to end poorly. My game is called Roses, Tournament of Champions. I had some kind of like tournament to the death idea, but then that just sounded real gory. So Roses. Tournament of Champions. This is a hardcore Rose Championship type game. It's a set collection game that revolves around putting the perfect rose on display for the competition. So essentially in the beginning, you've got 3 rounds where you're bidding at the center of the table for different roses. So you can spend, you know, you're going to have some value on your cards where you're going to be able to use the beginning set of cards that you get to recruit essentially roses out of those first 3 rounds. So you'll have, each player will end up with 3 different roses. There'll be different types of roses. Some will be a little more fancy than others. Some will be a little more like, oh, you know, that's just a very common rose. But it's what you do the next 7 rounds that matter. Over the next 7 rounds, players are going to either pick 3 cards off the top of the deck, and they're going to choose one and discard the other 2. Or a player can choose to pick up an item from the top 4 cards of the discard pile. This matters because it's a 4-player game. So if you're the person to your right, you're not actually going to have access to their discard pile, the discard that they just put out. Okay. So you're only going to have access to the people 2 spots away. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Okay, so players can pick up items from the one item from the discard pile, or choose 1 of 3 from the top. They need to collect everything that they need to have the perfect rose on display. These cards are going to be different types of fertilizers and specific pruning methods that you can use, and then soils that you can add and things like that. Over those 7 rounds, you're going to actually flip out your cards and say, "This is the rose I've chose to put on display." You're going to calculate the points and you're going to find out the winner. This is very much a filler game. It's going to play in about 15 minutes. So it's going to be one of those quick hit games where, hey, we're waiting on the bus, or hey, we're, you know, we've got a couple minutes before dinner. Let's throw this game down real quick. Not a lot of setup, not a lot of fuss.
So Going back to Rick's game, Rick, would you say yours is a filler as well?
Probably. I mean, it's probably going to... Again, I'm putting a lot of comparison to Kodama, though it does have different mechanics to it, which I say... I haven't played in a while, Ryan. Would you say 20 to 30 on that one?
Yeah, I think yours is 20 to 30, and I'm definitely going 15 minutes is kind of... It's going to be a quick hit. People are going to be drafting cards and kind of putting their combination together. And then after you play, you're like, okay, I think I can do better this time.
Okay. So you said set collection, drafting. Were there any other mechanics that I missed?
No, you've got a bidding mechanism in the beginning. I'm not sure exactly whether there'll be a value on the card or a dollar amount on those beginning cards. Everybody will get the same amount of starter cards, but it's what you do with those starter cards that matter, because those first three rounds, you can either afford to buy a really high-end rose and then two crappy roses, or kind of just go right in the middle and then boost them up with the way that you fertilize it or prune it or use soils. So you can kind of figure out a strategy, you know, based on like, do I have a really terrible rose that I can make a lot better, or do I start out with a good rose that I kind of just spruce up? So
okay, very cool. No, both were great ideas, Ryan and Rick. I think.
I mean, I missed most of Ryan's because I was singing Outcast's "Roses" in my head most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
I apologize. I have no idea what your game is about.
Nice. Thank you, Rick. You'll find out when everybody votes for it on Facebook.
That'll work.
So. Is this where I can make my decision?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, Aaron, your job is to tell us which game is the least crappy.
Mine.
Okay. This is a clear winner for me. Okay.
Okay.
I'll tell you that right now. Is immediately when I heard this idea, I'm like, this is the one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big theme person, so themes mean more to me than mechanics, and if the theme draws me into a game, I'm hooked. And for me, the wedding bouquet game really hooked me.
Woo-hoo!
And I think that this theme is something that can be very, you know, everyone understands the importance of the bride's bouquet, you know, coming down the aisle and like how it takes, maybe everyone's playing as like a florist, like a competitive florist or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And like it's the time to craft a perfect bouquet for this wedding, and hopefully they'll decide to come to your flower shop. And I just think it's a really, really cool theme. I like the mechanics. I think there's a lot of potential, and I'm going to have to go with Rick's game for the game that sucks the least.
This is going to become like the next this is going to become the next big like takeaway gift at weddings, I think. Like you just your favors. This is the next wedding favor. I'm telling you, Love Letter did it, but I'm going to take over that space, baby. That's what's about to happen.
That's good. There's not enough games in that wedding themed arena.
That's because people weddings know there are actually nothing fun about them, and you're always stressed out.
That's funny. You have to fit game time in to make weddings fun. Very cool. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Will It Game. Aaron, again, tell our audience where they can find you, and we'll include a link to your new book that's on Kickstarter right now. So we'll include the link in the show notes, but why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
So the best way to see what projects I'm currently working on is to go to fortheloveofboardgames.com. It'll have info about my book. It'll have info about the podcast that I'm doing, which focuses on the business side of board games. So if you want to stay up to date and, follow me on social media, definitely check out fortheloveofboardgames.com, which has links to our Facebook groups.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Aaron. And remember, we need you to vote. Head over to facebook.com/oneboardfamily. There's a poll pinned to the top of the page, and you're going to be able to vote for your favorite. It's either Wedding Bouquet from Rick White or Roses, Tournament of Champions from Ryan Gutowski. So until next time, we will see you at the table.
Bye. Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.